Thank you very much, Mr. Smith, and good afternoon to all of you. I want to welcome all of our visitors. Well, Mr. Lucenhey gave me a pretty good segue into what I'm going to speak about, because he talked about it being the feast season, Feast of Tabernacles, yet I'm not going to talk about tabernacles at all. I'm going to talk about the Spring Feast. And the reason I'm doing that is because in chat group, we're talking about that last week of Jesus Christ's life here on earth. And what prompted me to cover the subject is a question that was asked during the Bible chat, and the question was, Nisan 10th was the time that the lamb was to be selected. And so the question came up, would the Jews select the lamb on Nisan the 10th if it were a Sabbath? And the reason that came up is because the last week of Christ's time here on earth, Nisan 10th, was a Sabbath. And an additional question was, did Christ fulfill the symbolism of Nisan 10th when he rode into Jerusalem? Did he do it on the 10th of the first month, Abib or Nisan? Because that was a Sabbath. So how could he fulfill that picture and do it on the Sabbath? Would he do it on the Sabbath or would he not? Would the Jews select a lamb when the temple was standing on the Sabbath or would they not? That's been a question throughout the years, I think. Now, doctrine is pretty plain in the New Testament. We understand the doctrine pretty well. But when it comes to timing things, that is another story. For example, how long was Christ's ministry? Well, we say it was 3.5 years. But there are other people that say it was 1 year. There's a lot of people who believe it was 1 year. Some people believe it was 1.5 years. Some believe it was 2.5. Some people believe it was 3. They believe every kind of thing in that regard. When was Christ born? I don't know. I haven't seen anybody who could prove dogmatically the year of Christ's birth. And so on. All these timing things are up in the air. So what I'd like to do today is to basically answer the question, did Christ ride into Jerusalem on the Sabbath and fulfill the prophecy regarding that? To begin with, I would like to say we've taught for years and years and years that Christ was crucified on Nisan or Abib the 14th, which was a Wednesday, and we base that on two basic things. The timing fits because he was in the grave 3 days and 3 nights and resurrected on a Saturday afternoon. And there had to be 2 Sabbaths in that day because of the women preparing the spices for his birth. It clearly shows there are 2 separate Sabbaths. And in addition, the prophecy of Daniel 9, this what is called the 69 and the 70 weeks prophecy, fits perfectly because it says he was cut off in the midst of the week, which would be a Wednesday, right? A prophetic week of 7 days and 7 years as well, 3.5 years. So what I would like to do here now is to show you the calendar for that year. And I made a rough sketch here, and you can see the 14th is on a Wednesday. Nisan 10 is on a Sabbath. Now, we've published something similar to this in hundreds of booklets through the years. You know, for 50 years at least, we've published a calendar that looked exactly like this. And we say the calendar looks like this on the last week of Christ's ministry. He was crucified on Wednesday was 3 days and three nights, and he rose on a Saturday afternoon. So that calendar is nothing new, but I'm going to show you something rather interesting. So today, basically, I'm going to say John 10. And I know there are a lot of hard chronology to figure out when you go from Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and try to intertwine and make sense of all of this timing that takes place. So what I'm going to do today is I'm going to more or less ignore those little questions that come up and use John's chronology alone, basically. So let's turn to John 12, and let's look. At the way John wrote this. One thing you need to understand is John was the last gospel written, and people think that he wrote his book about 85 to 90 A.D. What that means, the temple had been destroyed. All the other three gospels had been written, and he had access probably to those as well when he wrote. So let's look at John 12, verse 1. Then it says, 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus, who had been dead, whom he had raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served. So what does it mean, 6 days before the Passover? Well, first of all, people argue what the term Passover means. We refer to Passover as the 14th, because that's when we take it. We take it on the 14th. When the 13th is ending, 14th the beginning, we take the New Testament Passover. But what did John mean? Well, I submit to you, John was talking about the 15th. And 6 days before the Passover, 6 days before the 15th would be what day? Well, I say it would be the 9th, because it's the 9th, and 10th, 11th, 12th, 13th, 14th, 15th, 6 days before Passover. And look at verse 2. There they made him a supper. What a novel idea to have a supper on Friday evening. My wife and I have been doing that for 47 years, I think, having a special dinner Friday nights. It's just the time to have a special dinner. So I'm saying that John is referring to here when he says 6 days before the Passover. When he uses the word Passover, he's talking about the 15th, not the 14th. And one of the reasons I think he's doing that is because the temple is gone. There's no more temple. There's no more sacrifices. Passover then, for the Jewish mind at least, reverts only to the 15th. There's nothing to do on the 14th. The 14th is when you offer the Paschal lambs. The 14th symbology for them is past. So, have you ever thought, oh, by the way, I had in my notes here that this ride into Jerusalem by Christ on the colt, the Protestants say that was a Sunday. And they call that Palm Sunday because they laid palms in front of Christ. But I maintain it's on the Sabbath. And I'm going to try to prove that to you today. Do you know there is a group of people that believe that the Passover in Egypt followed the exact same weekly cycle as Jesus' Passover week? In other words, they think Passover was on the 14th, they left Egypt on the 15th, and the 15th was a Thursday. There's a group that believes that. Now, it's not the Protestants. They don't care one way or the other, and I don't know what they believe, actually. It's not the Catholics. They don't care either, I don't think. But there is a group that believes that. They believe it strongly, that the Egyptian Passover occurred exactly like the Passover of 30-31 A.D. You know what group that is? The Jews. The Jews. They think that sequence was exactly the same, although they're not referring to Christ. They're saying it was a Wednesday Passover, and they left on Thursday. You know where that's written? That's written in the Talmud, and let me read that to you. It says, "Come and hear. As to the nights in which the Israelites departed from Egypt, on the 14th day they slaughtered the Passover sacrifices. On the 15th they went forth." Then it says, the writing here is a little hard to read, so I'm going to skip a little bit of it. It says, "The firstborns having been smitten the previous evening, and that day was a Thursday. Now, since the 15th of Nisan was on a Thursday," see there, that's the part I want to emphasize. It says, "Now, since the 15th of Nisan," or Abib, they used the Babylonian name Nisan, Abib was the Hebrew name, "was on a Thursday, the first of Iyar," which is the second month, "was on a Sabbath, and the first day of Sivan was on a Sunday." And that's not relevant too much to what I'm going to talk about. But I just wanted to read to you that they firmly believe that the Israelites left Egypt on a Thursday. That means the Passover of the 14th, the Passover slaying of the lamb, was on the 14th. Exactly like we believe the New Testament picture was. So let me show you here. I'll just change the name here with my little my little thing. So now, what they're saying is the Passover in Egypt is exactly the same as Abib 30-31. Same calendar that I showed you before. Now, the question is, does the Talmud prove that that's true? I don't think so. You know, the Talmud has all kinds of things in there that are not correct, that are just, you know, well, it's just, a lot of it is silliness, actually. It's guesswork and so on. But is there a way, is there a way of proving that the Jews are correct about this? Well, let's try that. Let's turn back to Exodus, 16th chapter. And many of you probably know Exodus 16 is a chapter about the manna and the quail and so on. And let's read some of the beginning verses of Exodus 16. "And they," that is the Israelites, "journeyed from Elim, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came into the wilderness of Sin." I understand that word is supposed to be pronounced Sin. I don't know why, but I read that somewhere. "Which is between Elim and Sinai on the 15th day of the second month." So they came. After they left Egypt, they reached this point on the 15th day of the second month. Of course, they left on the 15th of the first month, right? "After they departed from the land of Egypt. Then the whole congregation of the children complained against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness." Well, that's what they always do, right? They complain. And what do you suppose would be a good time for them to complain? Well, when they were having a meeting of some sort. "And the children of Israel said to them, 'Oh, that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt,'" verse 3, "'when set by the pots of meat,'" and so on. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain quota every day, that I may test them whether they will walk in my law or not. And this shall be on the sixth day that they shall prepare what they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily." So is there a way we can find out what day of the week the 15th of the second month is? Well, the Jews do it this way. They arrived on the 15th, and the next 6 days were not a Sabbath, because the next 6 days they got manna and quail. So if the 15th, if following the 15th are 6 days which are not Sabbath, what is the 15th? It's a Sabbath, isn't it? They arrived there on a Sabbath, and for the next 6 days, they received quail and manna. Now, is it possible to construct a calendar, a complete calendar of the second month with this information? Yes, it is. And it would look like this. See, the 15th is Sabbath. All this week, they got manna and quail, and they got double on the 21st. That's the way that reads if you read it correctly. So the 15th is a Sabbath. And so the second month would look like this. Now, with this, can we construct Abib 1 of the Exodus? Yes, we can. Okay. You see how Sabbath was the first of the second month? The 30th was a Friday of the first month. There's a rule. Nisan Abib always has 30 days. Never has anything but 30 days. Never 29, and of course never 31. Always, and also, the second month always has 29 days. Notice I only put 29 days. So this matches. This is a perfect picture of the calendar. This is the way the Jews claim that that month followed that sequence, exactly like we say the New Testament follows that way. Now, how firmly do the Jews believe this? Well, let me give you a little Jewish history here and demonstrate. Have you ever heard of this phrase? Anybody ever heard this phrase or know what it means? Okay, good. I'll tell you. It says Shabbat HaGadol. That's what it says. Sabbath, the great Sabbath. This is a Sabbath that's celebrated to this very day in every synagogue that, where they have Orthodox Jews. Do you know what they're celebrating? They're celebrating the events that took place in Egypt on Nisan the 10th, which was a Sabbath, according to them. Remember, that calendar is exactly like the New Testament, 30 AD calendar. And so they celebrate this special Sabbath. And it's called the Great Sabbath. And this Sabbath is celebrated the week prior to Passover. In other words, the Sabbath that occurs before Passover, that is the day they celebrate this particular Sabbath, Shabbat HaGadol. Now, what do they preach about on that Sabbath? It's kind of an interesting situation. One of the things they preach about is preparation for the Sabbath, and they tell people how to de-leaven their houses and so on and so on. There's a standing Jewish joke about why this is called the Great Sabbath. And the joke says, the rabbi speaks so long, that's why it's so great. He can't shut up. That's what's great about it. But anyway, the Jews always have a set of scriptures that they present on a particular Sabbath. And this one, it's Malachi 3. So what I'd like to do is turn there. I should be able to find Malachi. It's just before Matthew. And just point out a couple of scriptures that they highlight. Notice Malachi 3, verse 1. It says, "Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant." Of course, that messenger was John the Baptist, and of course the Lord is Christ himself, the Messiah. And they probably use many of these verses. And also they highlight Malachi 4, verse 5. It says, "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord." And so they're emphasizing the day of the Lord. And what a lot of Jews believe is that Christ, or not Christ, they believe Messiah, their Messiah, will come in Nisan. And as a matter of fact, some Jews even believe that Nisan 10th will be the day that Messiah shows up. But I got a little bit ahead of myself, and I'm going to go back a little bit, talk about this special Sabbath, Shabbat HaGadol. The reason why they think this is a great Sabbath is because of what they think happened in Egypt. What happened, according to the Jewish lore, is that on Nisan 10th, the Israelites went out to select a lamb, because God said, "Select a lamb on the 10th. But it was a Sabbath. And so the Egyptians said, "What are you doing? This is the Sabbath. What are you doing out in the flocks?" And it says, "We're taking a lamb, and we're going to sacrifice a lamb, and then all of your firstborn will die." And, of course, that upset the Egyptians greatly. And so, again, according to Jewish lore, there was actually an uprising in Egypt that the firstborn turned against the Pharaoh and fought against him for a period of time. And it had sort of a mini war. And so they considered this a great miracle that they were able to go into the flock and pick out a lamb on the Sabbath day, and the Israelites would not bother them, and they left them alone. So they figured this as a miracle. Now, I said that the Jews think that their Messiah will come on Nisan. I'll read that also from the Talmud. It says, this rabbi has a funny name, Yashaha or something, says, "In Nisan the world was created." They believe that. "In Nisan the bondage of our ancestors ceased in Egypt. And in Nisan will we be redeemed in time to come." So what they're saying is that their Messiah will come in Nisan. Now, what's interesting about this is what happened in the last week of Jesus' life. Jesus was riding into Jerusalem, and what I believe, on Nisan 10th, and it was a Sabbath. And the Jews might have thought, "What's happening here? It's Nisan 10th. And all the people are saying, Hosanna, Hosanna." And they say, "This can't be happening." And as a matter of fact, you can read some of the things that the Jews were saying and how they were absolutely dumbfounded that this was happening. For example, let's go back to John, the 12th chapter. And read that once again. My eyes are not falling on the verse that I want. Anyway, verse 13, they're saying, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And then I'm looking for that verse where they, verse 19. The Pharisees, therefore, you know, when they heard them say, Hosanna, Hosanna, the Pharisees, therefore, said among themselves, see that you are accomplishing nothing. Look, the whole world has gone after him. Now, they said that among themselves. But notice what Matthew records in Matthew 21. They say something else. And they say this to Jesus himself. And if you can imagine what they were thinking when they said this. In verse 15 it says, but when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying out in the temple saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were indignant. They not only were indignant, they were probably in shock, because here it was a nice intent. And said to him, do you hear what they are saying? And I imagine they said it several times to Christ himself. Do you hear what they're saying? Do you hear what they're saying? They couldn't believe it. They were probably dumbfounded. So I think it was nice and tenth that Christ rode in to Jerusalem. And I think they were crying Hosanna because this was the Messiah. And that's what was supposed to happen when Messiah comes. So I think what happened here, is, they saw that the time and place was correct, that the prophecies that they knew about were being fulfilled. For example, the prophecy of Malachi, which they preached on the Great Sabbath. Zechariah 9 was being fulfilled. Psalm 118 was being fulfilled. And all was happening at the right place and the right time. They only thought the wrong person was riding that colt. Now, I think God the Father and Jesus Christ planned this from the beginning. If you remember 1 Peter 1:20 and Revelation 13:8 says, before the foundation of the earth, Christ was crucified. That is, the plan was in place that he would be crucified. And it happened, I think, exactly when it was planned. For example, Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 15, for I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. According to the Scriptures. What Scriptures? Well, the Old Testament. That was the only thing that was written. That was the only thing that was Scripture. And so he was saying Christ died exactly as it was planned. And it followed, in my opinion, it followed exactly the Egyptian Passover sequence. Now some will say, would Christ do that on the 10th? That doesn't seem right. You're not supposed to work on the Sabbath. Well, actually, when I got here at services today, some of the seats were not, the chairs were not set up, and so some of us pitched in and helped set them up. We worked. The deacons work every Sabbath. The ministers work every Sabbath. And it's common knowledge that if you're doing God's work, you can do it on the Sabbath. The Jews understand that as well. Did you know that the hardest working day for a high priest, you know what the hardest working day is? The Day of Atonement. It is said that on the Day of Atonement, the priest does not sleep for 24 hours because he works all the previous night getting ready for atonement. That's when the temple was standing. And so the Jews understand that you can work on the Sabbath. So if the temple were standing, would the Jews select a lamb on the 10th? You bet they would. You bet they would, because they think that's when Christ, when the God of the Old Testament, told them to select it in Egypt on the 10th. And of course we know that was Christ, wasn't it? 1 Corinthians 10:4 and other scriptures talk about Christ being the God of the Old Testament. So he was the one that told them to select a lamb on the 10th, which I think I've indicated to you, very likely, was a Sabbath. And the other question people might have is, did they know it was a Sabbath? I don't know, but I think they could have known it was a Sabbath. It was before Sinai, before it was codified, but Abraham knew when the Sabbath was. God created the Sabbath at the recreation, didn't he? He said he made it holy then. So many of God's people through the ages, up to the time of the Exodus, knew which day was the Sabbath, and I'm almost sure Moses knew about the Sabbath. So that's why the Jews have no worries about calling ninth and tenth of the Exodus a Sabbath. And of course they left on the 15th, which was a high day, a Sabbath. And so I see no problem with Christ doing that on the Sabbath. And I also want to mention that if you follow Matthew and Mark and Luke, you will get confused because of things that happen in between that seem to muddle John's chronology. But if you follow John's chronology, and by the way, John's chronology fits perfectly in our chronology of the last week with a Wednesday Passover and so on. So anyway, I hope that with that little bit of knowledge you will understand a little bit more about the book of John and the final Passover of Jesus Christ.